Good morning. It's good to see all of you here. We've been going over the series on foundations, and the key verse, let's put that up right away. We're going to say this together one more time. Today is the final Sunday for this series, but let's say this together. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So over the past several weeks, we've been looking at foundations. We know that Jesus is that ultimate foundation, but we've also looked at ways in which that foundation is strengthened for us in our life. Our faith is strengthened. We're equipped to carry the message of Jesus Christ to the world. Some of those ways have been the gathering. We gather here to worship every Sunday morning to be energized, to be equipped, to be fed, to be nourished through God's Word and through the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and in baptism. How are some of those means by which the forgiveness that Jesus won for us on the cross comes to us in a personal way? And so we've experienced all of these ways, and we experience them week after week, the strengthening of our faith, that foundation that's strengthened every week and hopefully every day as we have our own prayer time and devotion time. But we're really coming back now full circle. Does anybody remember what the first Sunday of this series was about? It was the story. And how, from the very beginning, once Adam and Eve fell into sin, God put in motion a plan to restore that broken relationship. And if you read the Old Testament, I mean, the men's Bible study, we're going through the book of Genesis, and it doesn't take very long to find out God's fixing to wipe everything out with the flood. And you're thinking, okay, God, if you have this plan to restore mankind's relationship with you, how is that going to happen now? And there's time and time again in the Old Testament that we come across different people that God uses that we think, how is he going to use them? There's times even in the book of Esther where Haman tells the king, you need to wipe out all of the Israelite people. And you're thinking, okay, if that happens, God's plan is going to come to an end. But guess what? He keeps them alive. And he keeps carrying out that plan until we get to Jesus. And so today, as we get back to the series on the mission, we come full circle. Because in order for people to know who Jesus is, something has to happen. Someone has to tell them, right? If we think about the Apostles' Creed, hopefully my confirmation students can answer this question because it was on a test on Wednesday. We'll see how long-term their memory is, right? Why do we say in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Why do we say that? We can only believe for who? Ourselves. I can't believe for you. You can't believe for me. We have to believe for ourselves. And the only way for our broken relationship to be restored with God is for us to know Jesus Christ and to believe for ourselves. That's the importance of the mission. Our Romans passage that was read just a moment ago, Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And it goes on and says, and how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. I'm not going to say it can't happen, But we've talked about the means of grace, how God constantly and continuously comes to us, and how most of us came to know Jesus because someone shared God's word to us. And I'm not going to say it can't happen, but if we have an unbelieving person that knows nothing about Jesus, he is not going to just one day say, "Oh, I think I want to know about that Jesus guy." He's not going to just out of the blue come to that conclusion on his own. What has to happen? Someone has to share Jesus with him, right? That's the mission of the church. That's the mission that God has called us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share his death, to share his resurrection with the people around us. I love our Old Testament lesson for today. I chose it. It was actually the passage that the pastor preached on at my installation out in California. And it says this, I'm just going to read verse 6 really. He says, the Lord says, speaking to Isaiah, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring them back and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." I think if you ask most people, the Old Testament is about the Israelite people. God showering his love on them, God calling them out of Egypt, God taking care of them regardless of their rebellion time after time again. But right here, what is the Lord telling Isaiah? If the Israelite people are the only people that you're concerned about, it's too small a thing. Because I'm going to make you a light to the nations. I want you to carry the message to the ends of the earth. And I don't know that we always think about the Old Testament having such a gospel message to it, taking the message of Yahweh, the Redeemer, the one that's going to come into the world, to the ends of the earth. And you see, I think in the church, we kind of get caught up in that. I think that's why the pastor preached this at my installation service. He wanted me to think about this. Because I think in the church, sometimes we can get so caught up on ourselves. What I want, what we want for the youth, what we want for our Sunday school, what we want for our worship. We get so caught up on ourselves thinking only about us that we forget about who? The people who are lost. God wants every single person to be saved. Some churches don't believe that Jesus came to die for every single person. But he did. For God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for the entire world. Now that doesn't mean the whole world's going to be saved. But God's desire would that every single person be saved. And we have a mission. We have a mission to carry that message to the ends of the world. Now that can be a challenge in and of itself, right? God actually wants all of us to be a missionary. What does a missionary do? What is your immediate thought when you hear the word missionary? I'll say before now, I would say, well, I got to get in a plane and fly 1,000 miles or more, right? Or I've got to get in the church vans and at least travel a couple of 100 miles to be a missionary, right? Because that means I have to go somewhere. Maybe 40, 50, 60 years ago, that might have been the case. Because God wants us to carry the message to the ends of the earth. But guess what's happening today? We don't have to go because the ends of the earth are what? They're coming to us. And that makes the mission work so simple. And in the Luke passage, our gospel reading for today about the lost sheep and the lost coin, I mean, God, people are important to God. I mean, the shepherd who loses the one sheep, Jesus says, are you not going to leave the 99 who are saved to go find the one that's lost? The intended answer is yes, that's what we're going to do. The woman sweeps her house to find the one coin that's lost because the other nine are safe and secure. That's how important people are to God, to Jesus. He wants the lost found. He wants the lost brought back into a right relationship with Him. And guess what? We are His instruments to do that. When we first think about that, it kind of sends chills up and down our spine, right? Because I think we talked about it in Bible class. When we talked about reaching out to people who are lost, we think about going door to door and knocking or going up to strangers and telling them about Jesus. And that can be pretty scary. But guess what? It's a lot easier than that. I'm in the process of reading a book called Joining Jesus on His Mission. And what this book really describes is that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to have this big burden placed on us of, oh man, I've got to get the message of Jesus Christ out to people. Because guess what? He's already working. He's already working in people's lives. He's already working in our co-workers' lives. He's already working in our circle of friends. He's already working in our family. He's already working with that group of ladies or men or parents that we get together with at the basketball games. He's already working in their lives, and He just wants us to simply join Him and look for those opportunities to share the love of Jesus. One of the problems with this is, though, we have to be pretty observant. And more observant than I am when my wife changes her hair color or cuts her hair that I don't notice. Right? We have to pay attention, because there may be people who are hurting around us that are sometimes crying out for help, and we don't notice it because we are so busy, we are so tied up with what I have to get done. But I can almost promise you that at work, in your circle of friends, in your circle of your family, in your circle of parents at extracurricular activities, there is someone who doesn't know Jesus and who is crying out, who is hurting, and simply needs a friend. Those are powerful moments, because God can use us where Jesus is already working. We just come alongside Him and be that friend. We have an incredible message. And why it is so incredible is because of what it's done for us. We know that Jesus died on the cross for us. We know that He saved us from our sin. We know that we have eternal life because He rose again. And that is great news for us. Why wouldn't we want every person to know that? In our Ephesians study that we're doing in our small group on Sunday evenings, the lesson that we're on right now for this evening, I'm going to use an illustration that he used, because I think it was just the coolest thing that I ever heard. Most of us like football. I know we're a little bit past football season. But he said, imagine this. He said, imagine that the quarterback is out there on the field. He's called the huddle. And they've huddled up, and he's called the play. And all of the players said, man, I have never heard anyone call a play so good as what you have just called. And they all run to the sideline and sit down. And then in a few minutes, they all get back up and they run back out on the field, and he calls another huddle and he calls a play, and they said, man, you have a way of calling the play that's incredible, and they run to the sideline and sit down. We want them to run the play, right? And I think sometimes we as Christians are like that. We can gather here in church, and not that I'm that great of a speaker, but you know, we know the play. The play's called. We know that Jesus died for us. We know that He saved us. And then we run to our houses and we just sit down. And we come back here next Sunday and we hear the same message about Jesus Christ dying for us and how He wants all people to be saved. And we run back to our houses and we sit down. What does He want us to do? He wants us to run the play. And we know the play. We know that He wants us to tell others about Jesus. And guess what? When we run the play, we don't have to do it alone. Because all we're doing is joining Jesus with the work that He's already doing in people's lives. He wants us to join Him. He wants us to run the play. Because we know that the play means forgiveness and life for us and for everyone who believes in Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You that we have the opportunity here to be in Your house, to get the encouragement that we need, that we get the spiritual nourishment that we need for our bodies so that we are strengthened in our faith. We thank You so much for the foundation that we have in You and the foundation that Your Word and the sacraments bring to us. And Lord, that the strength we get from each other here, we're thankful for that. And we ask now that we have been equipped here today. Lord, that we've been strengthened and that we've understand and know that You want us to be Your witnesses. And we also know that it's simpler than what we could ever imagine. That we just look for ways that You are already at work in people's lives, and we step in. Lord, help us to be more observant this week to the people around us, that we can step in and that we can be that person they need to talk to, that shoulder that they need to cry on, so that we can share Your love with them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.